Turn with me, please, if you will, to the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Exodus, and a reading from the 12th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Moving down to the verse Mark 12, please. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Amen.
Thank our brother David for leading. If you have your Bibles open, keep them open at Exodus chapter 12, please. Up until this stage, God has been warning Pharaoh, Let my people go. But Pharaoh has not hearkened to the word of God. God has brought 9 plagues upon Egypt, and still Pharaoh has not let the Hebrew people go. So God brings one last plague, the death of the firstborn child. And I want us to consider just a couple of words found in the verse 13. It's a wonderful promise of salvation that God gives. He says, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. These are the words I want us to consider tonight. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. With the word of God open, let us bow our heads in prayer and seek God for his blessing upon us here tonight. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank thee for the precious scriptures of truth. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast revealed thyself to man through thy written word. And we thank thee, O blessed Father, for the precious gift of salvation that is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we come into thy precious word now, we pray that thou would shut out every distracting thought. We pray that the devil would be banished from this place, and that thou would shut every mind and soul upon thee this evening. And Lord, above everything else, we pray that all eyes would be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We pray that every person gathered in here tonight would see Christ and him crucified. And Lord, for those that are gathered in, we pray for them, that thou would speak to their soul. Lord, they're in their sin and they're on that road to hell. And Lord, we pray for them tonight, that thou would speak to them, that thou would convict them of their sin, and by thy Spirit that thou would draw near to them and draw them lovingly unto thyself. Show them Christ. Show them the great love that he had for sinners. And above all things, Lord, we pray that thy name would be magnified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We can just imagine the scene. It's Passover night. It's time for the fathers to make the sacrifice of the lamb for the firstborn in their house. In one home, a father takes a lamb and he heads for the door. But his little son sees him and he says, "Daddy, what are you doing with that little lamb?" The father, sensing the importance of the occasion, sets the lamb down and he takes his son upon his knee and says, "Son, you might not realize it, but this is the most important night of your life. God has spoken and he's warned us that he's going to come and visit the land with the death of the firstborn." The little boy begins to panic and he says, "But Daddy, I'm the firstborn. Does that mean that I'm going to die?" The father looks at his son with a big smile and he says, "No, son, you're not going to die. Because God has made a promise that if we take a lamb and sacrifice it to him and take the blood of that lamb and put it above the doorposts of our house, then God will spare you from death." The little boy looks at his dad and he says, "Daddy, that's great news." The little boy watches with anticipation as his dad goes out with the lamb for the sacrifice. And he waits by the window. He sees his dad coming back and he runs out to meet him. And he inquires, "Daddy, did you get the blood?" His father shows him the cup with the blood in it. And the little boy just feels a great sense of relief. And he watches as his dad puts the blood above the doorposts of their home. Whenever he's done, the father puts his arm round his son and he says, "Son, you're safe now. You're safe beneath the blood." Isn't it wonderful how God could offer such mercy? In the passage we've read and in the chapters preceding it, God has put plague after plague upon Egypt. And this last plague, it's going to take the death of the firstborn. But he offers mercy. He promises for those who take a sacrifice and put the blood above the doorposts of the house, that he will spare that house from death. God doesn't say, "If you come to me with your own thoughts and your own ideas of salvation." He doesn't say, "If you come to me with your own good works of how you can be saved, then I will spare you." God says, "I will save you if you obey my command." God's command was to get under the blood. Although this happened roughly 3,500 years ago, the same scenario applies to you and me today. Just like the firstborn child, we're facing death because we're born with sin. Because we have committed sin, we all deserve to face God's punishment for our sin. Every man, woman and child here has sinned against God. By our very nature, we are sinners. Let's be under no illusion. God is holy and God is just. He cannot tolerate sin and he must punish it. And the Bible clearly states, you know as well as I do, that God's punishment for sin is an eternity in hell. But just as the firstborn child was given one opportunity to be spared from death, so have we. Because God provided a lamb of his own. He provided his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father allowed God the Son to come to this sinful world, to suffer the rejection of men, to go to Calvary, to suffer the pain and agony of the cross, and to shed his precious blood, all in the place of the sinner. That if we come, if you and I come, repent of our sins and ask forgiveness, the blood will be applied above the doorposts of our souls. We will be forgiven our sins and we will be spared God's wrath. Again, God does not say to you and me here tonight, "If you come to me with your own thoughts and ideas of how I should save you, then I'll save you." He doesn't say, "If you come with your own good works and your own righteousness, then I'll save you." God says, "If you obey my command, then I'll save you." God's command is very simple. He commands us to repent and believe the gospel. To repent means to acknowledge we're sinners, to confess our sins and to turn away from it. And to believe the gospel means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe that he was our substitute upon that cross at Calvary and that he died in our place. That's what God commands us to do. If you want forgiveness under his precious blood. Friend, in the meeting I want you to be clear about this truth tonight. You cannot be saved from your sin without the blood of the Lamb. And that's what I want to speak to you about tonight. The wonderful qualities of the blood of the Lamb. The wonderful qualities of the blood of the Lamb. There's three things I want you to see tonight. First of all, I want you to see that the blood is precious. Now, a lamb was a precious commodity to the Hebrew people. It provided the family with food, or it was sold for money. Some households were not even able to afford one lamb. The Lord acknowledges this in verse 4 that we read, and he permits small households to share a lamb between them. For some households, the command to sacrifice a lamb would have meant to give up a great part of their wealth. That's how precious a lamb was to some of these Hebrew families. But how much more precious was the blood that flowed inside that lamb? If a family with a child chose to ignore the command of God, they were effectively choosing the death of their firstborn child. The blood of this lamb was so precious that it saved the life of their firstborn. Surely you couldn't put a price upon the life of your child. If you knew that death was coming for your child, surely you would be duty bound to do everything in your power to save the life of your child. But what if you knew that death was coming for you? Surely you would make provision. If you knew that there was an escape available, surely you would make provision to avoid that death by taking the escape. Well, friend, so it is with eternity. God has warned you that if you leave this world unsaved, that you'll face his wrath in hell. And he's offered provision. He's offered provision in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can imagine as the Father heard the command of God and what was required with that lamb in the corner of his house suddenly became a lot more precious to him. It became more precious because that lamb was the means by which his firstborn child would be saved. And I'm sure that the blood that flowed with inside that lamb meant much more to the parents than any amount of silver and gold, because it meant the life of their firstborn child. But how much more precious is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's precious to his Father because he's the only Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity, fully God and also fully man. Yet the Father allowed his only Son to come to this world, to suffer the shame, the humiliation, the mocking, the scorning, the rejection of those he came to save. He allowed him to go to that cross at Calvary, to die the cruelest of deaths ever imaginable or dreamt up by man, crucifixion. And why did he allow him to come? And why did Christ come freely? To save wicked, rebellious, vile sinners like you and me. Can we really comprehend what it meant for God the Father to send his Son to suffer and die on the cross? What love for sinners that is. To send his Son to die to save a righteous person, we might be able to understand that. But why would God send his Son to save wicked and sinful, ungodly rebels like you and me? My mind cannot fathom it. I stand and look in wonder like Charles Wesley when he penned those words, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me, but God himself would come and die upon the cross for sinners? Can our minds even fathom it? The Lord Jesus Christ is precious, but how much more precious is his blood? As he hung on that cross at Calvary and his blood dripped down from his brow pierced with thorns, as the blood dripped from his hands pierced with nails, as the blood flowed from his side, pierced with a spear. It was sprinkled around that cross at Calvary for sinners. How precious that blood ought to be to you and me here tonight, because it's the only way that we can be saved. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. The only way that we can have our sins forgiven and have access to God is under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he hung upon that cross, God the Father poured upon God the Son all his wrath for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the full wrath of God for the sins of his people. That's why John the Baptist proclaimed whenever he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." His shed blood, it ought to be precious to you and me here tonight. It should be put above the doorposts of our souls, because Christ gave himself freely to satisfy the wrath of God and to purchase the salvation of sinners. Above everything else that we hold dear in our life, it shouldn't be family, it shouldn't be money, it shouldn't be our jobs, it shouldn't be our country, it shouldn't be good health, longevity of life. The thing that ought to be most precious to you and me here tonight is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the only thing that can forgive us our sins, the only thing that can wash away our sins, the only thing that can give us peace with God. It's the only thing that can make us innocent in the eyes of a holy and just God. Something is precious to you because you love it. I wonder, is Christ precious to you tonight? The acid test is used in science to determine whether a metal is real gold or not. Well, the acid test to see if you're truly a Christian is whether you love Christ or not. Is he your everything? Is he all you think about? Is he all you want to serve in your life? Do you live your life to glorify him? Is his blood precious to you? Do you value his blood? Do you value salvation above everything else that you hold dear in life? But most importantly, have you got it above the doorpost of your soul tonight? His blood is precious. But the second quality that I want you to see is that the blood is pure. In chapter 12, verse 5, we read the words, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." God did not want any offering brought to him that had a blemish. He did not want the lamb brought that was diseased, maimed, blind, or dying. God wanted the very best sacrifice brought to him. He wanted a pure sacrifice. But why did God want a pure sacrifice? Because the sacrifice that's being offered in the passage, it's pointing to a future time when God would offer his own lamb to be sacrificed. And let's make no mistake, the lamb that God offered to be sacrificed, his son, he had no blemishes, because the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every single way. He is without blemish. He is pure. You and I have blemishes because we've sinned against God. As much as we try by ourselves, we cannot remove those blemishes. But Christ had no sin. He is the only one who has ever lived who had never sinned against God. And this is because he could not sin. And the reason that he could not sin is because while he was man, he was also God. And God cannot sin. In the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ had two natures. If he were not man, then he could not have died in the sinner's place. And if he were not God, his death would have accomplished absolutely nothing. If you or I were to offer ourselves as a sacrifice for sin, it would be of no value, because we are sinners. We have blemishes of sin. In fact, it's in our very bloodstream. But Christ had no blemishes. He was completely pure. There could be no sin in him who was born supernaturally of a virgin, because Christ did not inherit the sin that we inherit from Adam. And that is why God the Father could accept the sacrifice of Christ's death. And that's why he will accept the atonement of his blood, because it is pure, because it is undefiled from sin. O person in the meeting tonight, I hope that you see in yourself that you're not pure in the eyes of God. You and I have sinned against God. We've broken his law countless times. You might say, well, I'm not a bad person. I haven't committed any major sins. I've only committed little sins. There's no such thing as a little sin with God. You might say, well, I'm not a murderer or a bank robber. Well, you might not be. But if you've told a lie or taken the name of the Lord in vain, you're as guilty in the eyes of God as a murderer or a thief. But the good news is that while you're not pure, while your blood is riddled with sin, you can look to the one who is pure. You can look to the one with the purest of blood to cleanse you from all sin. The Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly. I love that verse because I can put my name into it. I look at my sinful nature before God and I see that I'm the ungodly person that the Bible speaks about. I'm the chief of sinners that the Bible speaks about. I look at my transgressions against God and I couldn't number them. I see that I'm the ungodly. But then I look at that verse and it tells me Christ died for the ungodly. And that fills my heart with joy because I can see that Christ died for me. His pure blood can cleanse away our vilest of sins. This is the promise that we have from Scripture. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It doesn't say he cleanses us from some of our sin, part of our sin, most of our sin. It says he cleanses us from all our sin. What a glorious promise from God's word that is. Though you might feel like the greatest sinner on earth, there's no sins too big that God can't forgive. Friend in the meeting, do you feel the weight of your sin? Do you see where your sin is taking you? It'll take you to God's judgment and God's wrath. Oh, this night, would you not cry unto him for mercy? He has not refused anybody yet that has called upon his name for salvation. And the good news is that if you call upon the name of the Lord, he'll not refuse you. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed with one purpose in mind, to cleanse from sin. And tonight, it can cleanse you. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come, as the apostate churches say, to show us how to live a good life of good works. No, the Lord Jesus Christ came with one purpose in mind, and that was to go to the cross at Calvary, and that was to pour out his blood to save sinners. Friend, it can save you tonight. So the blood is precious, the blood is pure. The third and final thing that I want you to see is that the blood has power. In Egypt, the blood of the lamb slain for the firstborn child, it had a wonderful power. It had the power to stop death visiting a soul inside the house. Without this blood, the firstborn child was doomed to death. But with the blood over the doorposts, there was safety and there was assurance for the firstborn inside. There's power in this blood, not because of anything special about the blood itself, but there's power because of the promise that's associated with the blood. And it's that glorious promise of verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. With the blood above the doorposts, the firstborn can sleep in peace because they have a promise from God that they will be spared his wrath. But there's a greater promise in the blood of the, or sorry, there's a greater power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The penalty of our sin will take us to hell. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has the power to save us from the wrath of God. It has the power to cause God to forgive us our sins and our trespasses against him. It has the power to turn us from being enemies of God to children of God. You might ask how? Well, the answer is, as the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon that cross of Calvary, 3 hours of darkness fell upon the land in the middle of the day. God the Father laid upon God the Son his wrath for sin for all eternity. For those that Christ came to die and to save, God laid upon his Son his wrath for sin. I want you to know that it wasn't for the sin of every man, but it was for the sin of those who would repent and trust Christ as Saviour. It was for the sin of those who are under the blood. While the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, a great transaction was done. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross and he took the guilt of those that are under the blood. And they in turn received his innocence. Christ, the innocent one, took the sins of his people and he became guilty in their place. He bore the wrath of God instead of the sinner. And his innocence was transferred to them. What power there is in the blood. What assurance the believer who has trusted Christ the Saviour has. These words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," give such assurance to the believer. For they know that when Christ comes again, or whenever they leave this world, they know that they're safely sheltered beneath the blood of the Lamb. They know that Christ paid the penalty for their sin. He bore it all upon that cross at Calvary. And they know that his blood was shed to wash away their sins. They have that great assurance that they're innocent in the eyes of God because they're underneath the blood. Friend, in the meeting tonight, I wonder, have you that assurance that your sins are forgiven beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? But not only does the blood have power in this life, but it has power on the day of judgment. Matthew 25 records what will happen when every man and woman that has ever lived stands before God on the day of judgment. Those who were under the blood, whenever God came for them, they will hear the beautiful words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What assurance they give to those under the blood. But what about those who are not under the blood? What will they hear on the day of judgment? Matthew 25 tells us they will hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The power of the blood will prevail on the day of judgment for those who are under it. It will take those that are under it to heaven, but those who reject it, they choose for themselves everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, outer darkness. They choose for themselves a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They choose for themselves a furnace of fire that will never be quenched. All because they rejected God's offer of salvation. All because they rejected the blood. As we close tonight, I hope you see how wonderful the blood of the Lamb is. For the firstborn in Egypt, it was their means of salvation. But sadly, not everyone in Egypt accepted this offer of mercy. It was rejected by many. And they didn't put the blood above the doorposts of their soul. God came and death took their firstborn. Likewise, there are many today who leave this world without the safe shelter of the blood above their soul. They hear that they need the blood, but they don't believe it, or they reject it. You might be in the meeting tonight. You might even call yourself a Christian. But friend, without the blood, you're still going to be visited by a death that'll take you to hell. There was a deadline for the blood to be applied above the doorposts. Chapter 11 verse 4 says the deadline was about midnight. God knew for definite when he was coming, but he didn't tell them the exact time, because there's always those that try to leave it to the last minute. He said about midnight. Friend, you don't know how long you have left on this earth. You might not even have until the end of the night. You might have another 50 years. God has a time appointed for your death. There'll be a line crossed and it'll be too late. Maybe you're young and you'll say, "Well, I'll leave it till I'm older. I'll leave it till my deathbed." then you don't know when God is coming. There's a deadline for you. The Bible warns, no man knoweth the hour. And it also describes how it can come as a thief in the night. It will come when you least expect it. But I want to ask you, if the Lord came for you tonight, will you be ready? Have you the blood above your soul? I hope you realize how much you need the blood of the Lamb tonight. It's impossible to have your sins forgiven without it. God is not unjust. He has warned you. Free offer of the gospel is here for you. Romans 10:13, Grace quoted it earlier. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, the promise there is that he will save you. But I ask you one last time as we close. When the Lord comes for you, will he see the blood over you? If not, may this be the night that you call unto him for salvation, that you cry unto him, and you'll have that safe assurance that you're under the blood. May God bless his word to each and every one of our hearts.